Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
That's Dubai. Good evening. It's 5:30. This is the update for Friday, 14th of August, 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the news on the island. Background to the news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. And tonight, 86 consecutive days of no new confirmed cases of COVID-19. How effective is our COVID-19 contact tracing system? Also, Wednesday's flash flood in Laxey could have been avoided, says a commentator. Over 75's free television licences in negotiation again. Two new shops to open in Douglas before the autumn, and 75 years since VJ Day.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Dolan Mercer.
Fastamai, police are investigating whether an incident involving a number of young people is linked to the death of an Onken woman. On Tuesday, officers attended to the disturbance in the area of Onken Park. A short time later, Leslie Cubbon, who lived adjacent to the park, was found dead inside her home. A man accused of attempted murder in a knife attack outside his Douglas home has been remanded in custody. 29-year-old Paul Michael Dale Ford of Williston Crescent appeared before Deputy High Bailiff Christopher Arrowsmith at Douglas Courthouse. He's yet to enter pleas to one count each of attempted murder, making death threats, possessing a knife in public, and assault occasioning actual bodily harm on the 11th of July. A new shop opening on the Isle of Man later this year will have the look and feel of an official Apple store. That's according to the managing director of retail group Sandpiper CI, which is setting up two outlets on the island, creating between 30 and 40 jobs. Further afield, some flights going for more than six times the usual amount today as British tourists try and get home to the UK before new quarantine rules come in. Anyone returning from France, Malta and some other countries have to self-isolate for 2 weeks from tomorrow morning. And local lockdowns in the north of England and the East Midlands are remaining in place for at least another week. Households in areas of the northwest, East Lancashire, West Yorkshire and Leicester cannot mix indoors. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramayed, thank you, Dolan. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, the Irish Sea Weather indicates no warnings at sea. By the way, the sea's gone orange in Douglas. Don't worry, it's a bloom of algae. Now by the sea terminal. Don't worry. Don't swim in it, though. Dry and sunny this evening. A light to moderate wind coming in from the northeast on the island. Lovely evening. Dry and clear through the night. Down to 16 degrees. Jasan, Saturday, dry and sunny with light breezes up to 21 degrees. Dry and clear overnight. Minimum is 14 degrees into Sunday. Jaduni, partially cloudy. Just an outside risk of showers and 19 degrees top temperature. High waters at 21 minutes to 9 tonight, sunset 10 to 9, low water 18 minutes past 3 a.m. Sunrise at 3 minutes to 6 tomorrow morning, and high water 19 minutes past 9. And 2 weeks today, the start of that four-day bank holiday weekend.
The team at Manx Glass and Glazing are available for email inquiries. Contact them on inquiries@manxglass.com.
The fears of some Laxey residents came true on Wednesday night after torrential rain led to a flash flood on Glen Road. According to one person who lives there, it could have been avoided. Our local Democracy reporter is Aaron Ibanez.
As if by some twisted irony, in the same week work gets underway on a culvert in Laxey to help alleviate part of the flood risk on Glen Road, a massive downpour on Wednesday night left some residents turning to the sandbags again. And although this was by no means reminiscent of the devastating floods on October last year, there is a sense of déjà vu for some of the residents who feel they've been ignored.
In the middle of August, who would have expected in the middle of August? Well, expect it. It's the Isle of Man, British Isles, that's the weather, this is Laxey, expect it any time of year.
So this area should be prepared for that?
All the time.
Glen Road resident Andrew Smith is a member of the Flood Action Forum for Garth, a group which wrote to the Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker on Wednesday afternoon calling for an extremely close weather watch.
They were reacting to the situation, but we've already forewarned them. And sadly, I don't think they'd taken that warning seriously, because, I mean, who are we? We just live down here.
Since work began on what is locally known as Quarry Falls, a tributary that runs behind Laxey Football Club and under the road into the main river, there was concern. In the event of even a modest thunderstorm, the letter read, the single pipe presently being installed to divert water while a new culvert is being constructed would prove insufficient, adding the potential for flooding of nearby properties is clear and needs to be maintained.
The water was up over the top there. Right, this was totally full. The water was over top, struggling to get under the road as it was, blocked by the pipework that was had been washed down.
Torrential rain concentrated in the Laxey Valley that very night led to a localised flash flood and washed away the pipe, which was unable to handle the flow of water. In the aftermath, another letter to the minister came with a sense of, we told you so, exactly as we predicted, it said, requesting as a matter of urgency that the views of the local residents be respected. The Department of Infrastructure has been contacted for comment.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
It's the number of daily positive tests for coronavirus in the UK is at its highest since the 14th of June. 1,441 laboratory confirmed cases in the UK. On the Isle of Man, we have 14 people waiting results of tests and 42 people awaiting tests. So is the government operating the most efficient contact tracing system it can? That's what one politician wants to find out. In the written questions for August during Timbal's summer recess, Douglas Central member Chris Thomas has put a number of questions to the Health Minister on the subject. Alex Watton spoke to Chris Thomas.
The public has heard the very simple statistics over and over again. What we haven't unpicked is how the virus got into Abbotsford down south. We haven't really looked into how the contact tracing works statistically, and if COVID does come back, let's hope it doesn't, but ministers keep talking about when it comes back. We need to make sure that we've learned all the lessons from the past, and shielding vulnerable people is a very important part of that. Contact tracing quickly is a very important part of that. What's happened in the Faroe Islands, what's happened in New Zealand shows that, and I want to make sure that the lessons have been learned from contact tracing failures, if there were any failures, back in March and April when this last mattered particularly.
The contact tracing system, or the spot checking system that we're told is being done by that team in government, would you like to see that upped, or do you think it's about the right level?
Let's find out more about how it's worked. I mean, I was in Cabinet Office. There was people in Cabinet Office who got it. I was never traced as part of the contact tracing work. I've talked to other people in Cabinet Office who weren't. So I only have a little bit of information about what happened and when the Chief Minister got COVID-19. I'd like to know more about how it worked in practice and to make sure that we did learn the lessons, because what's absolutely clear from what's going on in the Faroes and New Zealand is you have to be on top of new cases pretty much straight away. And I want to make sure that we've actually got the system that will work now. Perhaps it worked completely perfectly back in March and April, but perhaps it didn't. And it's we're not trying to score any political points here. I'm just trying to make sure we've got the best contact tracing system in place to work with isolation, to work with border controls, so that we can keep the economy and society in the island as open as it possibly can be.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
21 minutes before 6, the Ben McCree currently heading for Douglas Harbour. She'll be spinning round onto the Linkspan fairly shortly. She left Heysham at 2:05. And, of course, she'll leave tonight at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30, and back at 2:15, arriving in Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Manannan currently in Douglas Harbour, her next departure 7:30 tomorrow morning to Liverpool, arriving at 10:15, and then heading back at 11:15, docking in Douglas at 2 tomorrow afternoon.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
The Policy and Reform Minister says he's personally committed to free television licences for the over-75s, but he wants to see the results of a BBC consultation. They were extended by the broadcaster for the elderly here until the end of this year, but no agreement's been reached on the long-term future. Ray Harmer, MHK, will continue negotiations with the BBC after taking over the policy and reform portfolio from the dismissed Chris Thomas earlier this year. Ray Harmer.
I can only really talk about my own personal view, which is, we're committed to sort of free TV licence of the over-75s. We have that till the end of the year. And there's a consultation that the BBC have put in place to on the next steps, and obviously that follows the conclusion of the consultation that was in the United Kingdom. So obviously we'll have to wait for the completion of that consultation. I'm looking at things in a wider perspective as well in that consultation. So for me, it's about partnering with the BBC on our local provision of news, and not just news but output, theatre, arts. And
do you think they should be doing more?
I think there's absolutely an opportunity to do more. You know, we are a nation, and we have an immense depth of culture and heritage, and I think there's an opportunity to do more.
So will there be further meetings between the two groups?
Yes, that's absolutely the intention, to firstly meet on an officer level. It may, due to current restrictions, we may, and politically as well, that may be virtual meetings rather than physical meetings. But yes, that's the intention.
Do you have an idea of what's going to happen next when this current free use of the licence for over-75s, when it expires?
I can only express my own personal view that I very much said from a personal point of view that I was committed to free TV licences for the over-75s. I can't commit anybody else in that. I would hope at the very least that if that could continue, then that would be a seamless process. The administration is simple and easy to use, that you won't have to fill in forms and all those kind of things. I can't commit other ministers or the government, but obviously have a personal view that I do feel that they should be free for the over-75s.
So does the government stance on this issue, or Council of Ministers, does that need to be revisited?
I think we were waiting the consultation, the outcome of the consultation, and it will be that will inform, you know, the council ministers and government view.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Epic Games, the creator of the enormously popular video game Fortnite, is suing Apple and Google after they took the game out of their app stores. Epic claims Apple's displaying anti-competitive behaviour after they challenged Apple and Google's app store payment rules by offering discounts on digital purchases made directly through Epic. It's not the first time Apple's faced pushback over its app store policy. At the start of August, Microsoft took issue with Apple over its developer restrictions and its position on cloud gaming apps. BP is considering a major shift away from office working, or could sell off or not renew leases on a large proportion of its property portfolio. British Petroleum has already indicated it expects to cut 15% of its workforce by the end of this year, but hasn't confirmed its plans on reducing office space. CEO Bernard Looney has indicated the firm will move to a mix of remote and office working following the industry trend towards hybrid work models.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed lower as investors monitored concerns over a second wave of coronavirus cases. US stocks traded mixed as retail sales growth slowed. Oil dropped below $45 a barrel as concerns about demand recovery due to the COVID-19 pandemic and the rising supply weighed. Gold fell as a rally in US treasuries and a steady dollar prompted a sell-off in bullion. Corporate news was limited today, but travel-related stocks were trading lower after the UK government added more countries to its 14-day quarantine list, including France, the Netherlands, Malta and Monaco. BA and Iberia parent in International Consolidated Airlines, EasyJet, travel company TUI, engine maker Rolls-Royce, WH Smith, InterContinental Hotels and Premier Inn owner Whitbread were all in the red. And the numbers at 5 o'clock in London, the FTSE 100 down 1.5% at 6,090. In Frankfurt, the DAX closed 0.7% lower at 12,901. Just after 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.1% at 27,934. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, down 0.2% at 11,023. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.1% at 3,337. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1.31 and €1.10.7. And in commodities, gold down 0.6% at $1,941 per troy ounce. A barrel of Brent crude down 0.6% at $44.80.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookle, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Isle of Man Water Sports. Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
A beautiful weekend for it if you're sailing, surfing, paddleboarding, kayaking or diving. A ridge of high pressure will gradually decline through the weekend. Sea temperature at 15 Celsius this weekend. The winds tomorrow, Saturday, east 3 or 4. Wave height is 0.5 metre. Wave period 5 seconds. High water is at 19 minutes past 9 tomorrow morning. And Sunday's wind, east or northeast, force 4 or 5. Wave height 1 metre, up to 1.5 metres in places. Wave periods 5 or 6 seconds. High water on Sunday is at 20 past 10am.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. It's easy and cheap to repair broken greenhouse glass at Manx Glass and Glazing. For greenhouse glass cut to size, call 674 573. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 13 minutes to 6. Thanks for choosing Manx Radio tonight. This is Update, and two new shops are opening in the Isle of Man in the coming weeks. Channel Island-based Sandpiper CI Retail is bringing a new card factory to Strand Street, as well as a new name to Manx shoppers, Apple retailer IQ. The move will create 30 to 40 jobs. Sandpiper's managing director, Mike Rutter, has been speaking to Sean Cowper.
The other store that we're opening is going to be an IQ Apple store. So the location for that, we haven't signed the documents for yet. So I'll keep that to myself for now. But that, for all intents and purposes, will look and feel like every Apple store that anybody has ever been in. And that, you know, we're particularly excited about bringing that brand to the island in that way.
Now, as you mentioned, that is going to be a new name here. Are you confident there is a market for it?
Oh, I'm absolutely certain. There's no doubt that the Apple brand is well loved and has a huge following, and I have no doubt that it will be a success.
So when are we going to see these stores opening?
The store in Strand Street should be open by the second week of September, and the penciled-in date for the IQ Apple store is the middle of October.
And you've got some advertisements out already for staff. How many jobs is this going to create?
It will be over 30. What we have on our website is some 17 different types of position, and it will certainly be over 30 by the time we've fully recruited both sites, and it may even get close to 40.
Now, Sandpiper is a well-established retail brand in the Channel Islands, but perhaps not as well known here. What is it that drew you to the Isle of Man?
Well, the Isle of Man is somewhere that we've been interested in for quite some time, and you pointed out previously, or asked a question previously about whether our brands would work there. I mean, Sandpiper is, if you like, a holding company. We obviously trade through a number of very, very well-known franchises, which by their own very nature, they are very popular brands in their own right. And these brand owners have been encouraging us for some time now to come to the Isle of Man. It's something that they've been very keen on us doing, and we've been trying to find a way of doing it. And we're just really, really pleased that we've been able to find a way of doing it now.
You mentioned there that you do work with a wide range of brands. Could we see more names here in the future?
I have no doubt that you will see more names from us in the future. I don't know who yet. We have no fixed plan, but we will definitely won't be stopping at just two stores.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Riyad Evans.
Fastamai, the team manager of FC Isle of Man, says his side could be in for a difficult afternoon when they face Guernsey FC tomorrow. It's an historic day for the new outfit, playing its first match ever in front of a home crowd at the Bowl from 6:30. Team manager Chris Bass has done his research about the opposition.
Guernsey have been doing the pyramid now for 10 years and they already play at two levels above us. So depending on if Guernsey have bought all their best players, then we're in for a very difficult afternoon. So the more difficult it is, then it's the more challenging for my players. So the test is, you know, it's there. If you people are going to be down, the 2,000 people hopefully will find out, along with myself, who's up to doing the job.
The first ever woman to run the 100-mile Radnor Follian says she didn't do it for that accolade. Nikki Arthur completed the Round Island circuit in 23 hours and 28 minutes earlier this month.
It wasn't about that for me. It was just a mental challenge for me. You know, I've had my ups and downs with sport on the island, and if anybody, like, I've, you know, competed for the island in boxing. So I've done the parish as well. I had a bit of a terrible health scare after it. So it was just about getting 100 miles in under my repertoire this time, and I'm just really glad that I managed to do it with some of my best friends out supporting me, and it was amazing.
Further afield, Serena Weigman has been appointed as the head coach of England's women. She'll succeed Phil Neville at the end of his contract in September next year. Weigman will leave her role as Netherlands coach, where she guided them to victory in the European Championships in 2017. And Liverpool's Trent Alexander-Arnold has been named the Premier League's Young Player of the Year. The 21-year-old helped the Merseysiders to lift the title. Alexander-Arnold scored 4 goals in 38 top-flight appearances last season. That's your sport for now. Friday Sport Preview returns tonight at 6 o'clock. Join me then for more on these stories.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
From Brondlesway, the 4:30 to London City went 6 minutes late, and the 4:50 to Liverpool went 4 minutes early. Inbound tonight, the 6:40 from Liverpool and 8 o'clock from London City. Unfortunately, the 6 o'clock inbound from Guernsey is going to be an hour late, won't land until 7 o'clock, so the 6:30 to Guernsey will now go at 7:30. We wish our visitors from Guernsey a safe journey home. On the roads, East Baldwin Road is closed between the Battle of Oates Road and the entrance to Renscall Farm for tree work. Main Road in Bald Tryde's got two-way signals for railway line replacement. They're also doing railway work at King Edward Road in Growdle. There are two-way signals 24 hours a day. Tower Road in Port Erin's closed for its entire length. They're replacing a gas main there and demolishing a stone wall on Aubrey Road in Castletown. Two-way signals there. All the information you need about Douglas Promenade and its various permutations at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. And it's a nice night, so have a look at our 18 webcams on the Manx Radio community page.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Tomorrow, the 15th of August, is the 75th anniversary since the Japanese surrendered, marking the end of the Second World War. With many Victory in Europe VE Day celebrations cancelled this year by COVID-19 restrictions, this weekend celebrations promise to reflect both events. Lewis Foster with more.
In Ramsey on Saturday, there'll be a ceremony at the memorial, which includes a reflaying and a bugler in attendance from 11 a.m. This year's event will follow into Sunday, where a street party is to be held outside the courthouse on Parliament Street from 1 p.m. Royal British Legion member Bill Hankin told me why the circumstances of this year mean the weekend is extra special.
We had a lot more planned for VE Day. So we're going to bring both celebrations together. So VE Day will get a mention as well, but it does make it that much more important to the Royal British Legion everywhere. You know, as you say, everything had to be either diluted or not done.
In Onchan, the British Legion branch will gather at the War Memorial for a short service of thanksgiving and 2 minutes silence at 11 a.m. And at St. Peter's Church's Sunday service, Legion member Peter Kelly will be giving an address. Mr. Kelly told me why VJ Day had extra meaning for him.
I am a member of the Onchan branch of the Royal British Legion, but I'll be giving it in the terms of being captain of the parish. My father was a prisoner of the Japanese for 4 years. He was in the infamous Changi jail and then in other labour camps, along with others. And there were some from the Isle of Man who were in the same camp as him. But he never said anything about it. So I won't be relating his experiences because I don't know them. But I will relate what I have learned of what happened to a lot of men.
Elsewhere on the island, Castletown Station will be celebrating both VE and VJ days with Isle of Man Home Guard, Swing in the Isle Dancers, Vintage Vehicles, Clydesdale Horses, Southern Bells, Isle of Man WI and much more. And of course, if you're in the capital tomorrow, a VJ Day parade is to take place from the Legion Club to St Matthew's Church. For all this information and more, you can head to manxradio.com.
Details of all the stories you've heard on this update and more Manx Radio news, plus interviews and podcasts and the web's biggest source of Manx videos from Manx Radio, also from MTTV, Culture Vannin and Manx National Heritage, are all at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. Remember to like Manx Radio on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel, and have a great weekend. Stick around. Friday Sport is back. Rhiann Evans with Tony Meppam and more. Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley at 6. Sweet and Swing, some jazz with Howard Kane at 9 o'clock, and The Late Show with Stu Peters at 10. I'm Andy Winter. This has been Update compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Dolan Mercer, producer Tim Glover. Update returns Monday evening at 5:30. Have a great weekend.
W.